wish it would just leave. Turn with me in your Bibles to John. We've been looking at the Gospel according to John as John declares to us this last of the Gospels. He was familiar with Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but toward the end of his life, he was urged by other apostles to set down the record of who Jesus is. He wanted all of the disciples through all time to understand that Jesus was not just a historic, heroic figure, that Jesus is indeed Lord of all. And throughout this gospel, you'll see Jesus depicted in many different ways. You'll see word pictures of who he is. We have seen a few already in the first chapter. John's determined purpose is that in declaring who Jesus is, you will have complete faith and rest in him. And in John chapter 20 and verse 31, he declares to us the reason for writing all of this, and it's that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you would have life in his name. So as we look at these passages, it's important to consider, who is Jesus? Now this morning the passage we're looking at deals with John the Baptist and Jesus' baptism. But keep in mind that the focus is not his baptism as much as it is who is Jesus. And the answer to that is Jesus is Lord. That is, he is the King of the universe. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is the Word from the beginning, the Creator of all things. He is God incarnate. Who is Jesus? He is the Lord of everything. And therefore, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is indeed Lord to the glory of God. Look with me to John chapter 1, verses 29 to 34. As we read this, we're going to come to verse 32, and we're going to take an interlude there and read from Matthew's gospel, which John understood that most of the people he was writing to already were familiar with that gospel. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him.'" Now, in a moment, we're going to look at Matthew. But I want you to focus on that verse, because John leaves out a lot of the details, understanding that people already knew that. Verse 33. "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" Now turn with me to Matthew so you get the other side of what was understood by the gospel readers and the people of John's day. They had already been communicated three Gospels, which each one of them described the baptism of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Let's bow for prayer. Lord, now we have caught a glimpse of what the Apostle John was trying to convey to us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, open our minds that we might grasp it, that we might not just see through a keyhole and take a peek at Jesus, but we might slide through that keyhole and see the entire room, the whole perspective of who Jesus is. Lord, I pray for your anointing. and your word to go forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Who is Jesus? Remember at the outset, every passage that we read in this Gospel of John, that is the question that John is trying to answer. As we read this parenthesis here, it seems like John diverts our attention onto John the Baptist. And we've already gone into the mangy-haired, crazy-looking man called John the Baptist. And that wasn't the purpose. The purpose wasn't to look at John the Baptist and say, wow, this was a great guy. But the purpose was to show you that Jesus came to John the Baptist and what John the Baptist said about who Jesus is. So here we have John the Baptist is baptizing by the Jordan River. The Jordan River was this lazy, meandering river full of silt and dirt. Nobody liked the Jordan River. It wasn't a good place to take a bath. Wasn't a good place to wash your clothes. It was a filthy river. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, we have a story concerning Naaman the leper and how God told him through a prophet to go wash in the river seven times. And Naaman had a fit. He said, I'm not going to go wash in that filthy river. There are better rivers. And finally, he did wash in that river and was cleansed. John the Baptist was baptizing in the river Jordan. He was doing something that no one else had done. This was not a tradition in Israel. This was not a tradition that was customary. This was something brand new. John addresses that in verse 33, and he says, and this is why I came baptizing with water. He said, I'm doing something different, something unique, and something new, because I am the one preparing the way for the Lord. I am making it ready so that when He appears, you'll know who He is, and you'll respond to Him. You see, John the Baptist had his focus on Jesus, though he said, I didn't know Him yet. He had his focus on who Jesus is. He wanted us to understand that we need to understand who Jesus is as well. So now as we look at this passage, we find out that there are some truths that God wants us to understand concerning Jesus and water baptism. First of all, God wants us to understand that it was God who instituted water baptism. In verse 33, John says, He who sent me, that is God the Father who sent me, told me to baptize with water. Now, the Jewish people had a custom that when a baby was born, they would do circumcision on the baby. That circumcision, and we won't go into the details, rather gory. But it was a sign to represent that this child belonged to the people of God in Israel. Circumcision was a sign and a seal that you belong to God's family. What John was doing was not circumcision. It was not a substitute for circumcision. John was doing what God ordered him to do, to prepare the way of the Lord. And that preparation was to declare that everyone everywhere needed to repent of their sins and be prepared for the Messiah. We need to clearly understand this. Because in our day, we have a rich tradition of church history. And there's nothing wrong with church history. I like it. But sometimes we get off the track. We establish little formulas, and we have traditions that we do that are not necessarily biblical. One of those traditions has to do with baptism. Many of you perhaps come from a Reformed background. In my mother's genealogy and tracking that family, our family came from a Reformed background. In the Reformed tradition, babies are baptized. And the explanation, without going into a lot of detail, is that this is like circumcision was for the Jewish people. It is a sign of God's covenant that this child is being brought into the family of God. And because the parents are Christians, the child is sanctified by them. And there's a lot of other details that go with it. But none of that is found in the Gospels. None of that is found in the book of Acts or in the teaching of the apostles. It's the teaching of the church throughout the history as they tried to explain faith and reason through some of the theological issues. Now, if you were baptized as a baby in a Reformed tradition or a Catholic tradition, I don't throw that away. I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't want to do that. Because what was done by the parents was honorable. It was pleasing to God. But this is not water baptism. This is not the baptism that John was referring to, nor is it the baptism that Jesus taught. Where you see, John came baptizing in the River Jordan. Because that was the place where they had the most amount of water. And where a complete immersion could take place. As we read concerning John's baptism, it was unique. It was not a sprinkling. It was not John standing in knee-deep water, and you may see this in some pictures, but believe me, John didn't draw the pictures for you. Jesus didn't either. Somebody else did. But some pictures show John the Baptist reaching down and taking a pitcher and pouring it on somebody's head. That's not the way it happened. And nor did he reach down and sprinkle a little water on somebody's head. He could have done that. If he was going to do pouring or sprinkling, he could have done it in Jerusalem. He could have done it just about anywhere. But he did it in the Jordan River for a particular purpose, because God said, I want you to baptize in water as a symbol of repentance. You see, God was calling on people to do something extraordinary. He didn't want it to be ordinary, or God simply could have said, if you want to become a Christian, you need to be circumcised. It would have been more painful, but it would have been simpler. God said, I want to symbolize something that's taking place in your heart when you come to Jesus Christ. And so he ordained that John should begin this water baptism, and then Jesus, when he came, would continue that teaching repentance. And we come to the book of Acts, where Jesus has already ascended to his Father. He was crucified, and he rose again the third day, ascends to the Father. The disciples receive the Holy Spirit, and they begin to preach. And Peter preaches the first sermon. Remember what happened? He preached the sermon, people got under conviction, and they said, okay, give the invitation. What do we need to do to be saved? And Peter said, whoa, I forgot to tell you. And what did he say? Repent. And what's the next? Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you will be saved, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this water baptism that John established, Jesus also continued in it, and taught his disciples to do the same, as a symbol of repentance and brokenness before God. Now, why was that true? Up here on the platform, we have underneath this, and I hope our go-go girl, our sign girl, doesn't get nervous, but under here is a tank of water. There's no water in it right now, but that's our baptistry tank. And if I wanted to humiliate her, I would put an electronic door on that and put water into it someday. And I'm sitting there in my pew, and everybody's worshiping, and we're just having a great time worshiping the Lord, but I'm in my impish mood. And I take out my electronic gadget that Jim Smiley helped me put together. And I turn the knob. And suddenly, the floor opens up. And she goes, oh, kaboosh. Now, that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? But the most embarrassing part would not be the dropping into the water. What's the most embarrassing part? Coming up out of the water. And John writes concerning this coming up out of the water for Jesus. It was significant that people were doused completely in the water. As a matter of fact, the word baptize is never sprinkle, it is never pour. It is always immerse in and take out of the water again. As a matter of fact, 200 years before Christ, a Greek physician was describing how to make pickles. And he uses the word baptu and baptize. Jizo, which are the two words that are used in the baptismal service. And he says, you take the vegetable and you, first of all, dip it into boiling water. And then you take it and you immerse, or he used the word baptize it, in vinegar. He was giving us the way to make pickles. We look back on that and we say, okay, if that was the Greek understanding, then that was also John's understanding, to dip or immerse somebody. But the embarrassing part of this, the humiliating part of being baptized, is not dunking in the water, but coming out again. I want you to think for a moment of what you would look like if we would put you up on the platform and put you into a tank of water and allow you to come out dripping wet. I know what some of you ladies would do. You would do like Marilyn does sometimes. You'd go like this. I'm not going to do that. I remember one day that we had an accident. We had a head-on collision, and we're in a very serious accident. Fortunately, we had a Mercury Grand Marquis station wagon car, and it protected us. The doors were jammed. The windows were broken all around us. There were kids in the back seat, and there we were, and there was smoke rising out of the hood. And we're all stunned. This happened so suddenly. And I'm afraid, because I watch TV and I see all these movies, when cars crash, they always blow up, right? I'm afraid my car is going to blow up. There's smoke coming out of the hood. It wasn't just vapor. It was smoke coming out of the hood. I lean over and tell Marilyn, Marilyn, get out of the car because the car is going to blow up. And she goes, I can't get out. And I said, are you hurt? She says, my ribs. And I said, but you got to get out. The car's going to blow up. And she said, I'm not moving. Yes, dear. So burn up. There are a lot of believers that are like that when it comes to baptism. And there were people in John's day that were like that when it came to baptism. They said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to put myself through that humiliation of going into the Jordan River and getting dunked in water and coming up and my hair. I'm going to look horrible. And then I got to walk all the way back to Jerusalem. You see, there was a process that was at work here. God says, this is the symbol that I've established for repentance, because repentance means that you come to the end of yourself. You stop depending on your own good, and you acknowledge that there's no good in you. And you stand naked before God in all your ugliness, and you say, God, I am a sinner, and I need to be cleansed. See, that was John's baptism, that was Jesus' baptism, that was the baptism of the church. To establish a principle that to come to Jesus and confess Him as Lord, you had to first be humble. Remember what Jesus said about humility? He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. Because a rich man doesn't want to humble himself. There are a lot of believers today that have not followed the Lord in baptism, who with their lips say Jesus is Lord, but they have not humbled themselves to obey Him in everything. You see, it was God who established water baptism. I didn't invent it. This church didn't invent it. The Reformed Church or the Catholic Church didn't invent it. John the Baptist instituted by the command of God. Jesus adopted it and submitted to it and taught His disciples and passed them to do the same to all who would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. Have you been baptized? Not with children's baptism, not with infant baptism. That's another story altogether. But as an adult believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you prepared the way to come to Him, were you willing to say, Lord, humble me, and I confess You are Lord of all, You are Lord of everything, and dunk me, Lord, if You have to. But I confess Jesus as Lord. It's interesting what people will do to become members of some organization. I remember when I first went to NIAC, they still had the hazing that went on. And freshmen were treated as little nitwits, and they had beanies that we had to wear during our week of initiation. The beanie had a little propeller on it. You know, he really got stupid, humiliated. And then you have to walk around and carry books for the upperclassmen.
And if they ask you to do something, you have to do it. And at the end of the week, they do all kinds of nonsense to make you look awful. Well, we did that willingly. Because we knew that one day we'd be upperclassmen and get to do it to somebody else. In Brazil, we encountered a young man who came to Jesus as his Savior. And we challenged him to follow the Lord and be obedient in baptism. And he was a little bit nervous about that. And in his nervousness, I asked him one day to share with me why he was so nervous and what had gone on in his life. And he said, "Pastor, I want you to understand that my parents were spiritists. That is, they worshiped evil spirits. They submitted to the customs and traditions of witchcraft." Then he told me a story of how he was in a bus accident and both legs were broken. And as he was trying to recover and be healed, there were complications, and his family were very, very concerned about this. So they took him to the warlock of the village. And that warlock gave them some incantations to do and some prescriptions that they had to do in order to be delivered from this pain. And one of the prescriptions that were required of this young man was that his parents baptize him. Not in water, but in blood. In the blood of a goat. So the family had to buy a goat, slit the throat, pour all the water into the basin, and this young man, being 11 or 12 years old at that time, had to go into this little outhouse, a little shed in the back of the property, in the heat of Brazil, 85, 90 degrees in the summertime. They put him into that shed, and the high priest of this cult came and baptized him, completely immersed him in that blood. And he said, "Pastor, you will never know how horrible that was for me. I hated it. I did not want it. My parents made me do it. And then they locked the door, and for 3 days I had to sit in the dark in that little room in the back of our house, in the back of our property, with the flies, maggots, and all the rest, just to guarantee a physical healing." And we can tell you stories over and over, all over the world, where people do all kinds of crazy things to be initialized or to be received into some cult or religion. And we stand back and say, "Oh wow, that's horrible stuff." And Jesus said, "But I didn't ask you to be baptized in blood. I didn't ask you to be sprinkled with blood. I didn't ask you to be sprinkled with water or have water poured on you. I didn't ask you for any of those things. I asked you to take a simple step of faith in trusting me as your Savior, recognizing your own sinfulness and saying, 'Lord, I need you. Whatever you say, I will do because you are Lord.'" And Jesus said, "Then be baptized in my name." You see, Jesus himself submitted to the act of baptism. He was God incarnate. He didn't need to do that. John testified to that fact, and he actually said, "Lord Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. You come to me to be baptized?" "No." And Jesus said, "No, let it be so, because we have to fulfill all righteousness. I have to set the pattern and the example for others to follow. So permit it to be so for now." And so he did. So we see, first of all, God instituted baptism. Secondly, Jesus gave us the example of being baptized. He was baptized himself. He didn't have to repent of anything, but he said, "I am fulfilling all righteousness." And that means I am being obedient in everything that God commands, because it's good to be so. In chapter 4 of John, we're going to read in just a few weeks, chapter 2 of John, rather, the first miracle. And the first miracle was the turning of water into wine. And remember what Mary said when she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, Jesus, they're out of wine. Can you do something about it?" And Jesus gave her a smart answer. And then she turned to the servants and she said, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Just do it." You see, she was confessing the lordship of Jesus, that whatever he says to do, just do it.
Even if you don't understand it all, even if it doesn't make sense to you, just do it. And Jesus gave us the pattern to do it, even though he didn't need to. He said, I am establishing this. I am setting the example that you can follow in my footsteps. And so when Jesus began to call his disciples, he didn't call them and say, would you join my club? Or would you join my denomination? Or would you join up with my religion? No, he simply said, follow me. Follow me. And for every one of his disciples, the first step of following was to follow in his footsteps to the Jordan River to be baptized as a recognition of their sinfulness and their need of cleansing and a Savior. I ask you this morning, have you been baptized? As an adult believer, have you obeyed the Lord? Have you followed in his footsteps? Have you humbled yourself before him and said, Lord, whatever you say, I will do because you are the Lord. John the Baptist hit that issue head on. Jesus was coming to him to be baptized, and John said, no, Lord, you don't need to be baptized of me. I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, no, I'm telling you what to do. Obey me. And John said, okay, even though I don't understand, I obey you. My friends, God is calling each one of us to follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ to be baptized. It's not for the purpose of show. It's not for the purpose of embarrassing you. It's not for the purpose of getting you to adhere to the doctrines of this church. It is to help you follow the Lord Jesus Christ in everything and to confess him as Lord, not just with your lips, but with your obedience. The third thing I observed from this passage, the first being that God ordained water baptism. The second being that Jesus exemplified water baptism. The third is every believer needs to be baptized. Every believer needs to be baptized. Jesus never gave an exception about water baptism. He never made it an option. He never said, if you choose to be baptized, that would be nice. He said, follow me. And if you follow me, do what I command you to do. Don't say to me, Lord, Lord, and then don't do what I tell you to. And yet I have preached in churches now 28 years, and in every church where I have pastored, there are wonderful believers that follow the Lord Jesus Christ in just about everything, but who sit in the pew and say, I will not be baptized. And when I wrestle with them and talk with them and urge them to follow the Lord in this also, they say, no, I will not. And I have to ask the question, is Jesus your Lord? If he's not Lord of all, is he Lord at all? If Jesus asked you to do a simple thing like this, and you don't do it, what if he calls you to be a missionary? What if he asked you to do the hard thing of witnessing to the person next to you in the job? Or what if he asked you to begin to tithe? We won't touch on that one. You see, it begins with the first step of the Christian life, the first step of obedience to Jesus Christ, and the first step of lordship of Jesus Christ is obedience in water baptism. To say, Lord Jesus, you are my Lord, and I will follow you in everything. When I was first baptized, somebody explained it this way. They said, this is an outward sign of an inward work. It's showing on the outside what God has done on the inside. That is, repentance from sin takes place in your heart. You're broken about sin from inside, but then you make that testimony on the outside. This week we received some really good news. We think it's good news. Our daughter got engaged. And she called all excited because she got this ring. Diamond ring. You should have heard it. I should have taped it. Make a great illustration. Daddy, Daddy, I'm going to get married. It's wonderful. And we talked about the ring. The ring was the symbol. I mean, they were already in love. They already talked about getting married. The commitment was already made. But the ring was really the seal of everything. And my daughter being who she is, I said, Angelic, let me give you one word of advice. It's an expensive ring. Never take it off. You'll lose it.
Jesus wants us to realize that there's some symbols in Christianity, just as important as a diamond ring, that set us apart from the rest, that identify who we are. And it is a public forum in which we declare our faith and repentance in Jesus' name. And Jesus looks at that and he honors it. And God wants you to see the honor that took place when Jesus was baptized. You see what happened? Somebody says, well, nothing happens when you're baptized. Yes, it does. You go in that water. I hold you down under. And when I bring you up again, something does happen. What happened to Jesus? It says the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. What else? He heard a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased in him. See, there's some seals or some signs that take place in each one of us. When you are baptized and obey the Lord, the Spirit of God is going to give you a peace that passes all understanding. Just like that dove that came on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to give you an assurance because you have done everything that Jesus said to do. And that peace is going to abide with you forever. And he said, I'm giving this to you as part of the testimony that you have followed me. And then you're going to hear a voice from heaven. No, not an audible voice. But you're going to hear a voice inside where the Lord's going to say, I'm well pleased with you. You're mine. You're not ashamed of me. And I'll not be ashamed. My friends, John wants us to understand the lordship of Jesus. And so when he describes for us the baptism of Jesus, it's about who Jesus is. Is he Lord? And is he King of your life? And this morning we want to give an invitation. As our worship team comes and we close the service, sing a song, it's an old familiar gospel song, Are You Washed? And as they sing that, I want to ask you, have you followed the Lord Jesus in baptism? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you given testimony to that? Are you walking with Jesus? Are you obeying him and following in his footsteps? Or have you excused yourself and said, I don't need to follow that? Jesus calls each one of us to follow him in everything, to be obedient and follow him until the day we die. And so he urges us to come and walk with him. As the musicians sing this, and you're welcome to sing along, it's number 513 in your hymnal. I'm going to ask you, if you haven't, as an adult, or as a young person who acknowledges Jesus as Savior and Lord, if you have not yet been baptized in water baptism as an adult, as a testimony of your repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then I'm going to ask you to come and just stand with us at the front. And then in a few weeks, April 18th, we're going to have a baptismal service. And we ask you to follow through and give your testimony to the world and to the Lord Jesus Christ that you belong together. Let's stand together as we sing in closing. We invite you to respond to the Lord Jesus and come and offer your life to him.